हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो Reading from Tantra Sutras, Chapter 2, Chintadartha, Prakarana, Spirit. Page 82. Here, someone may say, since the individual spirit souls are a specific potency of the Lord, they are in all respects one with him. They are not in any way different from him. Right? So, see, they try to overemphasize. Oh, so you're saying that they are a specific potency of the Lord, and the potency is not different from the Lord, right? So even though that these same persons before would be saying there's only the Lord, that they don't accept the Shaktis as part of the Lord, and so they're saying, you know, that the Shaktis are separate. It's an illusion, and it's not real. But then, as soon as they see the opportunity, oh, through being Shakti, and Shakti is not different from the Lord, then in that way I'm the Lord. And in being the Lord, I'm absolutely, completely the same and non-different and absolutely, you know, everything equal. Then immediately they go to that. So we can see as their purpose is they have a particular thing in mind. It's not that there's a specific logical sequence they're going through. And they've only come up to that far, you know, like let's say like the four Kumaras or something. Because as soon as they're shown what's beyond that, the step they take it. But you see in this, the others, no. Their point is they want to be God. They want to be liberated from the material world and they want to be God. And so then however they can get it, even taking using our philosophy, if they can do it, then they'll take it. Even though they'll go completely against their own philosophy. Concerned that someone may speak in this way, in the next sutra, the author emphasizes the difference between the individual souls and the Supreme Lord. Sutra 13. Although they are spiritual and blissful, the individual spirit souls are different from the Supreme, for it is not inevitable that they are always situated in the spiritual reality. Right? So the jivas then. Even though they're part and parcel, and they'll be that small particle of Brahman, of the Supreme, but it's not inevitable that they'll always be situated in the spiritual. They can also choose the material. Udriti. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the aspect of the covering of Jiva's pure knowledge in Adhyayam 2 on the Anuchedas 22 to 25 as follows. Though the jiva is knowledge itself or awareness itself, clearly it has the power of knowing objects, right? So it means that the sat aspect is there, they have knowledge of the self and awareness of the self, right? Then it has the power of knowing objects, right? So then the willpower, that being applied. It was also said in the beginning, shudho vichashte yavishudha kartu. The jiva, though pure, becomes absorbed in the covering on the jiva known as the mind, which performs actions opposed to the Lord, and which is made of maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12. It should be understood that the intrinsic shakti of the jiva will give him knowledge of his real self, pratyajnana, whereas turning outwards, understood through the words vilokya, mumpa, Mumuhe and Jnana Guhaya, the jiva in ignorance attains material knowledge. Right? So if you put it on yourself, then you can see yourself more mature in context of the Supreme. How we're part and parcel of the Supreme, how by nature we're servants, and how we can be servants of the Lord. But if we don't, we put the intrinsic shakti of the jiva, of knowledge of the self, they turn that outside, then it turns to be knowledge of the material world. And then they don't see the self. Because if you see the self, then you see yourself, and then you see the Lord, then you see all shaktis. Then you're in Krishna consciousness. But if from seeing yourself, you just go to the energies without the Lord, then you'll see them separately from the Lord. You'll see Maya, and you'll be overwhelmed. Does that make sense? So in other words, the intrinsic nature of the jiva to be able to perceive things. Remember before we sing that the influence of the sandini, sambit, and ladini, shaktis on the jiva tattva, then the sandini would give the being conscious, being self-aware. Then the sambit would give the aspect of that, applying that knowledge, gathering knowledge, knowing what it is and all that. And then the third one will be ladini, will be then the experiences of the jiva can have of that happiness of that position. So now if they turn that from themselves, they go further towards the Lord, then they're going to see themselves in a relationship with the Lord, their willpower will be use and activities connected with the Lord. And the happiness will be in connection with the Lord, because seeing the Lord happy, we're happy. And then in that, you can also see his energies, his external energy. So they're looking externally, but they don't lose the internal view of who they are in their relationship. But if they don't look in that way, they just put the energy outside, then they don't know actually who they are. They forget, they don't know the Lord, they only know the energy. And so that's an illusion, right? It means it exists, as we point out, but it's an illusion to think that we exist separately from the Lord and all this energy exists separately from the Lord. It's all working by the Lord's grace. Right? Because the jiva embraces ignorance caused by Maya, it serves the body and senses, or identifies with them as himself. After that, with this quality such as bliss hidden, it adopts similar qualities and attains samsara. So similar qualities means the material happiness and stress. By association with Maya, represented by a woman, the jiva loses all his powers, his capacity for inherent knowledge, etc., and follows her. But use are impermanent karmas for a person who does not know his sarup as a jiva. Right, so that's the whole thing. They just put themselves into the outside. They identify with what outside then makes me happy. Right? So because in here they're using the generic as always the masculine aspect. Then so therefore the woman, it probably points out, it's the same way. For the woman, it's the man, and she forgets herself. Or for the parents, it's the children. Or for the politician, it's the country, or for the businessman, it's the money and the facilities, and like this. So that form of attraction to the material energy that one has, even then that's potency, that's the illusion for the living entity. But in the second shloka of the Chaturshloki, if that is seen in context of Krishna, then that same attachment, or that same attraction, then you start to see, is that attraction is coming from Krishna? So then you're able to be engaging those things in the Lord's service in the context of the Lord without attachment according to duties, then you become liberated from the material entanglement through those same points. As we said, if you see yourself, you see the Lord, you see the energy and a proper relationship, then you see everything properly, and one is above the modes of nature. Because you're seeing yourself in connection with the Lord and the material energy in connection with the Lord, so the Lord keeps the energy under control. But if the living entity thinks no, you don't see it with the Lord, then you think, I will control the material energy, you become controlled. So here it says, you know, it's pointing out the thing is that the jiva is following that, you know, it says here, Maya, represented by the woman. So the man is, he thinks he's controlling the woman, but he's actually being controlled by the woman, just like the woman thinks she's controlling the man. But she's controlled by the man. Or the parents think they're controlling the children, but they're controlled by the children. The man thinks I'm controlling money, but he's controlled by money. So as soon as you deal with the material energy separately from the Lord, you know, thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer, you become controlled by the material energy. So you forget your nature. You don't actually know who you are. So that's the whole idea of the spiritual, you know, life, the Sankirtan mission of preaching is that you're awakening others to this fact that you're the soul, you're not the body. And so you're looking for happiness, you're looking for knowledge, you're looking for activities, and you're thinking all that will work very nicely for you. But unfortunately, you've forgotten who you actually are. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Though they are spiritual and blissful, the individual spirit souls are different from the Supreme. Here is the reason why. It is not inevitable that they are always situated in the spiritual reality. The natural position of the individual spirit souls is to be situated in the spirituality. However, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself who places them in that spiritual reality. However, for the individual spirit souls, it is possible to be, to be placed apart from the spiritual reality. So, in other words, they're in the Tathasta position. Their position. Now, by surrendering to the Lord will put you into the internal potency. Or by ignoring the Lord, he'll put you into the external energy. You know, it's our choice. You know? In the Shruti Shastra, it said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the one eternal who controls the many eternals. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of all existence. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is greater than the greatest. So three different quotes that show this position. Right, because we're trying to establish that we're very small and he's very big. Right? He's the greatest. And he's the one that controls where the living entity, they make the choice material, they're put there. They make the choice spiritual, they're put there. He does that, not the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:45, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, O Arjuna, be free from all dualities and be established in the self. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3:12, and Sweta Sutara Upanishad 4:6 instead. Although the two birds are on the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness, as the enjoyers of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or other he turns his face to his friend, who is the Lord and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free of all anxieties. Right? It doesn't say he will merge into the other bird. He becomes the other bird. He is the other bird. No, it just says that you'll become free. In the next sutra, the author describes the idea that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual spirit souls are both one and different simultaneously. That is. So then there's the idea, but they're all the same as the Lord, you know, because they're an energy, the Lord's not different. So therefore, they're completely the same. No, he's great, we're small. We come under the material illusion by turning our consciousness outward. And if we turn our consciousness inward to, you know, seeing ourselves, who we are and our relationship with the Lord, then we take up the spiritual position. Right? But the Lord is beyond, so he's never affected. Sutra 14. Some say the individual souls are the Supreme. Others say the individual souls are different from the Supreme. Still others say the individual souls are both one and different from the Supreme, right? Because they're emphasizing one way or the other. You're showing no, it's both. Rudriti, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the individual souls in Anucheta 37 as follows. Being the Lord Shakti, sometimes the two are equated because the Shakti and the Shaktiman are intimately connected with each other. Since in the absence of the Shaktiman, Shakti is also absent. And because they are both conscious entities. Okay, because that and you also have that they are both conscious entities. Still, it is not proper to point out a difference since one sees a very Shaktis in one particular object. The followers of Ramanuja consider the designation of non-difference of Jiva and the Lord, the controlled and the controller, to be like designating the individual and a species of cow. Vishnu Purana thus says, O Lord, whatever Devata comes in front of you, you are he, since you are the creator of the universe and pervade everywhere. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhadarayana and his followers affirm that the individual souls are the supreme. Kasyapada and his followers affirm that the individual souls are different from the supreme. Sandilya and his followers affirm that because the individual souls are part and parcel of the supreme, the souls are different from the supreme. And because the souls are part and parcel of the supreme, the souls are non-different from the supreme. Different kinds of evidence may be produced to support all these different views. For example, in the Upanishads, it is said, the individual soul is Brahman. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1 and Sweta Svatara Upanishad 4.6, it is said, in the individual spirit soul and the super soul, Supreme Personality of Godhead, are like two friendly birds sitting on the same tree. One of the birds, the individual atomic soul, is eating the fruit of the tree, the sense gratification afforded by the material body. The other bird, the super soul, is not trying to eat its fruits, but simply watching its friend. In the Katha Upanishad 2.2.4, it is said, the question is asked, when the embodied soul becomes liberated and leaves his material body behind, who will control him? The answer is, the Supreme still controls him. In the Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.1, it is said, this entire world is the Supreme, therefore a peaceful and saintly person should devote himself to worshiping the Supreme. Right, if everything's the Supreme, then the point is you're not devoting yourself to worship the different items of the creation, but the Supreme, who is all the items of the creation. That's the point, because if you just worship part, then you're not actually dealing with it. The person. You deal with the person, you deal with everything else. That's why the different parts of the universe, that we're not interested in worshiping. We're worshiping the Supreme Lord. And that includes everything. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.4, it is said, a sage who understands the Supreme, the life of all that live, will not speak of anyone but him. Such a sage has fallen in love with the Supreme Lord. He is eager to hear of the Lord's pastimes. He actively serves the Lord. Such a sage is the best of all transcendentalists. Right? So here you've seen is that they've taken that position to worship together. Right? I mean, so the Supreme is going to control, so they're different. The other one is the friends, and that they're together. Right? And so then, but then by devoting oneself to worshiping the Lord, then you could see everything in the context of the Lord. Here someone may say, the conflicting claims of these different philosophies will certainly bewilder the living entities' minds. Fearing that someone would say this, the author proceeds to explain that there is no real conflict among these seemingly conflicting views. They are separate aspects of singular. Huh? Singular philosophy, he says. Unless that's it, singly is okay. I don't know. Sutra 15, he says, all are true because the evidence of scripture is always true, and because the seeming conflict does not bewilder they who want truth. Right? So Shastra is always correct. It gives these things, and it may seem bewildering to others, but those who understand, who hear the truth from those who know the truth will also not be bewildered. Udriki. Srila Jiva Goswami explains the reason for the varied opinion on the relationship with Jiva and the Supreme in Anucheda 37 as follows. For those desiring jnana, the Lord teaches scriptures of non-difference. And for the devotee, the Lord teaches scriptures of difference. Sometimes the Jiva is called a reflection of the Lord. Just as a man, though one entity, will well, we'll see, I guess, no? We'll see the image of himself in a mirror and in the eye, and we'll see the image of himself in the mirror and that of the eye are different. You should see that I and you are also different. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.28.63. Because if you only see the oneness, then there's no interaction. Just like we see in the Shantaras. There, it has that devotional aspect in that they see everything connected to the Supreme and they accept him as the Supreme Person and they have that affection for him as the Supreme Person. But they're only basically, the emphasis is on the oneness of how Krishna is everything. You know, they can see the individual things, but the point is all those energies, all those potencies, all the manifestation are all simply coming from Krishna. So Krishna is just so great. Like that. And so that's their basic way that they're seeing. So that there's not any specific service as such other than appreciating that point, you know, in its various multiple facets, you know, unlimited facets. Right? So, but to do that, you still have to see that you are separate from the Lord. Right? Because there's you observing the Lord who is everything, you know. So that they're able to appreciate that. And because of that appreciation, then if one develops a sense of possession, then one can then engage in dynamic activities in connection with the Lord. Right? So in other words, they're seeing that the oneness, but they're seeing that they're different as individual entities, and he's different. Right? So then you can start the process. But the more that is, then the more it starts to.
Maharaj? Maharaj, this mirror example, if we take, then we see that the reflection actually doesn't exist, no, Maharaj?
It exists. Why do we have to say that it doesn't exist? How, means then what are we looking at?
It's our own.
It's just like you look at the mirror to see if your tilak is all right. And when it looks all right in the mirror, then you're comfortable and then you go to the temple.
Yes, Maharaj. But when I stop looking at mirror, it doesn't exist. When I go away from mirror.
The mirror doesn't exist? The mirror is not there? The mirror means, so if you're not looking at it, doesn't exist. So if I'm looking this way, everything this side exists. But what's behind me stops existing. But since you're looking that way, that exists, but this doesn't exist. And so that way we're getting a 360 view because there's always somebody looking some direction in this way, then we're seeing her.
No, Arun, means if I'm not in front of mirror, then I will, that reflection will not come.
Yeah, it means that your reflection won't be there, but there's no other reflections in the mirror. The mirror, as soon as you walk away, the mirror stops reflecting things.
Is there?
Yeah. Why the insistence on it's an illusion, it doesn't exist? Why the insistence on
it? Well, you want to see it from different angle, want to prove it.
That, no, but
not.
that's not a different angle. That's the one that you always look at it from. That's not a different angle. But we're speaking, that's the different angle.
Yes, Maharaj.
You understand?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. Means the different angle is seeing it in its reality. It exists, but it's an illusion to think that that reflection is you. And why is it? But what is it reflecting? It's reflecting the body, which is also not you. So when you see that this is Krishna's potency, that there is the ability of reflection, that's his potency that it reflects. You know, we don't make it happen. It's not that you go and stand in front of it and then go like this, and then poof, there's your reflection. You know? Means it's Krishna's potency. So therefore, as servant of Krishna, I'm seeing this reflection in the context of my service to Krishna. So, you know, do I look proper and all that so that I can go out and serve Krishna? You know what I'm saying? That's why you're doing. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so then one is going to see it in that context. But if you don't, he simply looks external. You think, oh, that's there, that's illusion, because that mere reflection doesn't work. But then you're only looking at the reflection of the body. What about the context of that potency and connection with the Supreme? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, we have to know which terms to use and which way that we're always consistently using. Does that make sense? So this idea of always it's an illusion and this and that, what's an illusion? Illusion is the misidentification. But what we're misidentifying with, it actually exists.
Yes, ma'am. Correct, ma'am.
Yeah, otherwise that would be the other way around. You see it in the mirror. If it doesn't exist, it's an illusion. Then let's say you're standing there, and in the mirror, you see in the reflection your friend. So then you turn to see your friend, but then he won't be there. Right? Because what's in the mirror is an illusion. He wouldn't be there. But then you turn back, he's there. And then you look this way, he's not there. Right?
No.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is we have to be convinced of there's a certain way of defining things. How we use the term illusion. So, in other words, we have to use the term illusory as the acharyas define illusory. Otherwise, if we remain attached to our own definition of illusory, then anytime we come across the word, we'll go, see, it means it's illusory, as I say. No, that, they're not saying that.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay, this again is stated in order to aid the vision of non-difference for those desiring jnana. The jiva is not actually a reflection of the Lord. Even the proponents of non-difference must see the contradiction in such an example. Right, so it's just used to give an idea of the non-difference. But the point is it's not actually, because you can see it is a reflection, it's different. So we're not actually a reflection of the Lord. Right? There is no identity because one does not see difference between the Lord and the jiva, as one sees distance between the sun and water to cause reflection. Brahma Sutra 3:2:19. Right? So if you don't see any distance, there's no identity. Right? Like that, because then you have to have the distance. The sun and the water, there's a distance, then you can get a reflection. If there's no distance, then they're one. And how do you get the reflection? Does that make sense? So they're very comfortable to use the example of the reflection. But the point is the reason there's a reflection is because there's two. The example is given to show the oneness. But if you look at it and analyze it, you'll see even to get a reflection, there has to be two. Right? That's the whole thing, is there has to be two. So then that this idea of that exclusive oneness doesn't exist. And if you say there's two and there's no connection, how can that be? Because you have energy and energetics. So you know that when the energetics not producing electricity, electricity doesn't exist. You know, energetic means it produces electricity. But electricity exists because of the energetic. Right? So that's the whole point, is that some will take the oneness and push that. I just saw a green bird fly past the green tree out the window. But I could still see that there was a green bird flying past the green tree. You understand? So the greenness is one, but the bird and the tree are different. So one has to see in these examples, one is emphasized or the other is emphasized, or there's a balance. But never at any time is it saying one and it's just one. If you look at the example, there has to be two. You know, just like they say, silver and the shell, right? It doesn't exist, it's illusion, but there is silver there, there is shell there. And because of silver, therefore the shell looks like silver. That's why you say there's a oneness. You know, or you're saying that, or that's why there's an illusion. But there's an illusion because there's different things there. You know, that have a distance. If that makes sense. The example of the reflection is accepted because of some similarity only. Comparison with the sun is accepted in the sense that it illustrates the nature of greatness of the Lord and dependence of the Jiva, since this is included in the scriptural conclusion, and harmonizes the elements of the comparison from the Sutra 3220. Further, in Anucheda 42, it is stated that the Jiva and the Lord are one, since they are both conscious entities. Further, in Anucheda 42, it is stated that the Jiva and the Lord are one, since they are both conscious entities. There is a little difference between the Lord and the Jiva. There is little difference between the Lord and the Jiva. To think of them as extremely different is useless. Jnana arises from the gunas of prakriti and is thus useless for gaining proper vision. Right, so we're using the modes of nature to analyze things. But the problem is in analyzing, if it's being done under the modes, then how is it going to be of any use? You can't get a proper vision by just using your senses, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, and that, and analyzing all that, you're using the material nature under the modes of material nature. So how are you going to end up with proper knowledge? Right? How can you know the supreme? How can you know what's transcendental to the material knowledge? You're only using the material knowledge itself. Right? So that's the whole difficulty that comes up, is that they're quite happy to use the material nature and say that they conclusively can say this is how it is, but at the same time is they're negating that material nature, that it doesn't exist, it's all illusion. That means all of their perception, all of their intellectual dealings, all of their speaking, all of their determination, it's all under the modes and it's all an illusion. So then what's the value of what they say at all? Right? No value. Right, so therefore, it has to be based on Shastra. And then that Shastra you have to see in its proper context. But they're thinking, no, the Shastra is wrong, the Asadeva is wrong. So it's through my analyzation by the mode under the modes of nature that I make it correct. But we all know real knowledge is beyond the modes of nature. Anucheta 43 states that the Lord teaches difference for those desiring bhakti. When a person sees that he, the jiva, is completely free from the reservoir of the gunas in the form of the body and senses, and has obtained a relationship with me, he attains sovereignty. 3.9.43. Right, so sovereignty means he's above the modes. That's the sovereignty. Sovereignty doesn't mean now he's the controller and enjoyer of the modes. When the jiva sees himself Atman, related with me, Maya Upetom, the Shaktiman, the shelter of the jiva Shakti, attains Sharshti and other qualities. Swarajyam. Sharshti is. One?
Sharshti. Sharshti means same opulence, Maharaj.
Sharshti. Okay. Same opulence. Anucheta 44 explains why there's no conflict. From the four types of evidence, Vedic knowledge, direct experience, traditional wisdom, and logical induction, one can understand the temporary nature of the eternal world. Giving up doubt, one remains steady in the Supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.7. Right? Because you have all these different ones, but because they're all based in Shabda and the Vedic knowledge, then there's no problem. So in other words, you have the Vedic knowledge. Then by using the Anuman, you apply it into your particular situation. Right? Then you get direct experience. Right? Because I've heard, yes, the material world is a place of misery. Then by applying into my situation, you see, yeah, it has so much misery to it. Then I can directly see it. Now that then becomes, that being discussed, that becomes traditional wisdom. How you saw it. So therefore then you have these, sayings, how you say, that people have seen that application and all these things. So it's coming from authority. So now if that goes back to the Vedic literature, it has greater meaning. But otherwise, in the local context, it works locally for those particular aspects. And you see, therefore, all over the world, then they all have the same kind of understanding, right? This verse forbids a variety of opinions. The word vikalpa means doubt. From the four types of knowledge, one becomes free from doubt and becomes steady in the real substance. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda. All these sages are correct because they know the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and understand that these conflicting views are aspects of a single philosophy. Are aspects of a single philosophy, that these conflicting views. Okay. Maybe take out the first star, conflicting views, comma. Aspects of a single philosophy, comma, are not bewildered. That's not. These sages are correct. Okay. You need a dash here. All these sages are correct. Dash. They know the truth of the Supreme Personality of God and understand these conflicting views are aspects of a single philosophy. Then that the dash are not bewildered. So in other words, all these sages are correct. They are not bewildered. That makes sense. So that's how it means. If it's a slight thing, then you have the sentence going. And then you have the part in between the commas, and then it continues. So in other words, if you take out that middle part, or what's in parentheses, you can read the sentence and it makes sense to make a singular point. If it's more, more emphasis is there, then you use those dashes and stuff. These differing views are also correct because the previously quoted passages of Shruti Shastra, passages that are evidence for these different views must all be correct. That is the meaning. Right? Shastra is always correct. There is no contradiction. It's just using from different views. for different purposes, but it's still talking about the same subject. Just like we saw, it was emphasizing the oneness, but you see the example given requires two to make sure the oneness. Right? As if I say, okay, this mouse here is white, and this fuzzy thing here is white. Right? And so therefore they're one. But just to show the example of oneness, I have to point out two different things. So that's the thing, is they'll leave the two different things and say, see, they're one, they're non-different. Right? But funny thing is, if I move the furry thing here, it doesn't move the cursor on the screen, unless I move the thing and now I see it's going up. Yeah. Now to get it back, I'm going to have to look at the other side. Next, going back here, and that's going down again. Oop, up one side next. So that's the thing. They're pointing out two, but they're emphasizing the one. Or the ones where they're showing the two, there'll be something that's showing one, they'll show that the two. Like that. That is the meaning. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.4, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, all such philosophies spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without contradicting the truth. So all these different personalities, they're all saying the different things, but they have a particular hermeneutics that they're trying to bring out. And so they emphasize something in that way, then by taking certain facts that may mean something else, they interpret it in their own way. Like that, you know. So that's our own attachments that we come up with that. Otherwise, as you see, they're only speaking elements of the absolute truth. But because of how they're written and the audience that they're written for, they interpret it that it's a different philosophy. But there's only one philosophy. There's a singular philosophy. There's not many philosophies. You take one aspect of it and emphasize that. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a meal, right? So the kids emphasize the sweets, right? But it doesn't mean it's not part of the meal. But they think it's, you know, a complete in itself, and they can just eat sweets all day and they'll be fine. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1, it is said, all created beings emanate from the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his power, they remain alive. They attain him at the end. After thus describing the true nature of the individual spirit souls, the author of the sutras proceeds to describe the renunciation of all unwanted things. He also describes the means to attain the highest goal in life. He says, Sutra 6, the conscious spirit souls possess thinking and loving, for these two are part of their nature. Rudriti, Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the jiva's qualities of knowledge and bliss in Anucheda 28 as follows. Jamatri Muni mentions that the jiva is not just knowledge, because the jiva is chit anandatmaka. It is knowledge as the opposite of insentience. Jara Pratyoga, and is bliss and knowledge, Chid Anandatmaka, as the opposite of suffering, Dukkha Pratyoga. Right? So he's conscious, you know, he's the opposite of unconscious, and is bliss, and not means the Chid Anandatmaka, that it is opposite of the suffering. Its nature of knowledge is illustrated. Jiva accomplishes his nature as bliss by being the shelter of unconditional prema. Therefore it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the pleasure of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.54. Commentary by Srila Bhakti Nautical. Thinking creates knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is part of the soul's nature. Loving creates bliss. Therefore, bliss is part of the soul's nature. These are part of the soul's nature. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, eternity, knowledge, and bliss are part of the soul's nature. In the Vedanta Sutra 413, it is said, the wise know and teach the science of the soul. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.19, Sri Prahlad declares, Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. But they are individual. They are knowers of the external body. And they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes. And they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body. And therefore, they are always uncovered. In the Vishnu Purana, Sri Prahlad declares, fools fall in love with what the material senses see. I am not like them. O Supreme Lord, I have fallen in love with you. I always think of you. I pray that you will never leave my heart. Bhagavad Gita 2:24, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, the individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither burned nor dry. He is everlasting, all-pervading, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Right? So he's always going to be in his transcendental position, but he turns his knowledge outside of himself and doesn't see himself and doesn't see the Lord. Therefore, then temporarily, he takes on the material qualities because he identifies that way. Right? So he's going to be he's small, so he's going to function in another energy. Right? So he either turns it inside and then takes shelter of the Lord in the internal potency, or externally and takes shelter of the external potency. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.41.42, Vasudeva Maharaj says, having experienced a situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates or speculates about that situation. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets its actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another. Tata dehantaraptihi. At the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. Changes of body are due to the flickering of the mind, for otherwise the soul would remain in its original spiritual body. Right? So the mind's flickering, as the mind's fixed on Krishna, one remains in the spiritual body. Or one, you know, in our case, one, takes away the contamination of the gross body, and then one sees internally how one's relationship with Krishna. In the Katha Upanishad 2.3.10 and 2.3.6, it is said, when the five senses are peaceful, and when the mind and intelligence do not strive for material things, one attains the highest goal of life. Thus the wise say, in the course of life, the senses rise and again they set. Aware that he, the soul, is different from the senses, a wise person does not grieve. Right? In the beginning, the child's senses aren't so developed. Then you see they start to develop, then they become very refined. But as you get older, again, they start to go down like that. So the wise person does not grieve because it's just a matter of it changes again. In other words, it goes from being more developed to less developed. That's just the waves, how they work. They come in, they go out. So the end of life, they're not so developed. So when you go into the next life, it's not so developed, then it becomes developed. Right? Then it remains for some time, and then it starts to go down, and then it goes into the next time like that, and then continue like that. That's just how it goes. In the next sutra, the author describes a root from which desirable and undesirable kinds of love have grown. He says, Sutra 17, love for the Supreme is natural, spiritual, and brings the highest bliss. Love for what is not the Supreme is artificial, material, and brings only suffering. Right? So love for the Lord is the natural. Love for what's not the Lord is unnatural. Why would it be unnatural? Because the Lord being, having the soul being eternal, then they're always looking for eternal happiness. So the idea that they put their effort into a particular object and then have that wane or disappear, that's unnatural, that's artificial. But putting that affection towards the Lord, who's eternal, that relationship being eternal, then that's natural. Udriki. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī explains the jīva's quality as the enjoyer of bliss in Anuccheda 36 as follows. Just as the Lord is an enjoyer, experiencer, since he has consciousness, the jīva is an enjoyer since he has a form of consciousness, chit-rūpa. Right? So it's just a matter of connecting your experiencer and enjoyment to the Lord's experience and enjoyment. Then it becomes, that's the natural position. Since our potency for this is coming from him. We as jivas come from him, and all the inherent natures that we have are his potencies that are coming from him. So when they're seen in that context, they work very nicely. Śrīla Prabhupāda. The living entity. Okay. They say that the Supreme Lord, superior to Prakriti, is the cause of enjoyment and suffering in the jiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 326.8. So he's above. Śrīla Prabhupāda, the living entity, is the cause of his own suffering, but he can also be the cause of his eternal happiness. When he wants to engage in Krishna consciousness, a suitable body is offered to him by the internal potency, spiritual energy of the Lord. And when he wants to satisfy his senses, a material body is offered. Thus, it is his free choice to accept the spiritual body or material body. But once the body is accepted, he has to enjoy or suffer the consequences. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.26.8 perfect. You know, so he can choose, and once he gets, then that's what he has to, how he has to deal. Right? In the spiritual world, he has his spiritual body, he continues with that, it just continues. And so the nature of engaging himself as the Lord's servant, which is his natural position, then that's just what he continues. It's a natural effect of that understanding or that decision or determination. But if he accepts the material body, then once he has a material body, he has to deal with that material body. And so therefore, then the material body will be going on in the position of what it is, its nature, and then you engage that in the Lord's service. And then, as I mentioned before, then what's the condition of the mind at the time of death? And that's what transfers you from one position to the next. Yeah, at the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. So if you're thinking about the Lord willing to do service and feeling, you know, thinking about the Lord, feeling about the one to serve the Lord, and willing to actually take up that service, then that gives you the spiritual form. Then one continues in that. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Love for the Supreme is natural, spiritual, and brings the highest bliss. Love for what is not the Supreme, that is to say, love for wealth, children, wife, and others, is artificial, material, and brings with it the sufferings of this world, of repeated birth and death. That is the meaning here. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.8, it is said, by understanding the Supreme, one crosses beyond death. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 4.5, it is said, one unborn soul tries to enjoy the world. Another unborn soul renounces the world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advises in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. And so, again, the point is that the Lord being beyond, if we just give up all the varieties of engagements, you know, on the platform, the body, the mind, and words, that we're using them for our own purposes, for karma, jnana, that's given up, so we just surrender to Krishna. It's just about devotion to the Lord. Then Krishna will take care of it. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Here someone may ask, if the soul is by nature spiritual and blissful, then how does it come in touch with unwanted material things? Fearing that someone would ask this question, the author speaks the following words. Sutra 18. Sufferings are caused by the soul's misidentification with the material body. Udriti. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates on the characteristics of the conditioned soul in Anucheta 47 as follows. The other top, overcome by Maya, which has gained access to the Jiva because of Jiva's aversion to the Lord, is born repeatedly in the material world, right? So Maya gains access to the Jiva because of Jiva's aversion. If you're always absorbed in the Lord, then where will this aversion come up? Where will Maya come in contact? But since you're not, then you're dealing with the other way. So in other words, there's the energy. And then if you are interested in looking at that energy without the Lord, then you've turned your face away from the Lord. Right? So the Lord's behind you. And that spiritual energy is behind you. But you want to enjoy that energy. Right? So therefore, then on the water of desire, then you looking at that water of desire, you see the reflection of the Lord and the energy. And you think you're looking at yourself and the energy. But you're looking at a reflection. it's the same energy. It's just this different form as illusion. So now you're under the control of Maya. But now when you become Antarbhut, you turn your face back to the Lord. Then now you're looking at the actual Lord and its internal potency, and you turn your back on the external. The Hamsuguya prayers say, the body, life, air, senses, internal senses, gross elements and sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the jiva. But all these things are dead matter. They don't know anything. They're just controlled by the modes of nature. The jiva knows all these items and the gunas which cause them, right? So these things are manifested through the three modes of nature, you know, by their potency. And so the jiva can know all of them and the three modes that cause them. That's the potency of the jiva, because he is conscious. The material energy is not conscious. He does not really know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite qualities, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:4-25. So he can see them and he can see the cause, but unless the Lord reveals himself, he can't see the Lord. Right? Because he's only part of the Lord. So how does something so small see unlimited unless the Lord reveals? It is said in the 11th canto, for the jiva averse to the Lord, there will be samsara consisting of identity with body and lack of identity with the soul. Because of this absorption in the material coverings on the soul, arising from the Lord's Maya. Right? So the coverings are there, so he has that external vision. He sees Maya. While when he has internal vision, then he sees himself, the Lord, and his internal potency. Vidura speaks of both types. How many types of destruction are there for the various elements? Who remains serving the Lord during destruction and who goes to sleep? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:7-37. So some during the dissolution, some are still serving the Lord. And others, they go to sleep. So who are these two? Though the averse jivas are pure, they take a material birth with covering, supadi, caused by the Supreme Lord, who is empowered, endowed with his shakti, jiva. That material birth is a state of adhyatma, material identity. Material individuality caused by identifying with the birth because of appearance of the coverings. So, from Bhagavatam, neither material nature nor the soul who tries to enjoy her are ever born. Yet living bodies come into being when these two combine, pervaded by you, just as bubbles form where water and air join with Akash. And just as rivers merge into the ocean, or the nectar from many different flowers blends into honey, so all these conditioned beings eventually merge back into you, the Supreme, along with their various names and qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-31. So everything's coming from the Lord, right? So the jiva and the material energy come from the Lord, and they eventually, so they're all, you know, they're always situated within the Lord. It's just a matter of us being able to see, okay, now they're manifest, then they go back into the Lord when Mahavishnu breathes back in and you don't see them manifest. But in any case, he's still connected with them either way. It's our vision that we see these two, right? The two varieties of one thing, the Lord and its energy. The Shrutis speak this verse in praise of the Lord. There is no birth of property made of three gunas. There is no birth of the pure jiva, purusha. The jivas with the parties or adhyatmika forms. Asu, Brit, living beings, are born because of Paramatma, who is endowed with these two shaktis, Upaya, Yuja. The shaktis called jiva are pure. When merged in Paramatma, since the desires are sleeping, when the transformations of property are extinguished in Palaya. When the desires are agitated after property transforms at the time of creation, the jivas attain a conditioned state and go forth into the material universe. So the conditioned jivas, when he breathes in, they go to sleep, the Lord. What we see is that those who have, are devotees of the Lord, they've gone to the spiritual platform. Then at the time of dismute, they're still serving the Lord. So in other words, only the conditioned souls go through this creation, maintenance, and destruction element. Those who are in their natural position of realization are exposed to this. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sufferings are caused by the soul's misidentification with the material body. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, identifying with matter, the soul takes birth in the mother's womb, right? See, so here the Acharyas are saying, why are we in the material world? How did we come to this position? Because we identified or misidentification with the external body. That's the actual position that's there. That's the reason we come here. But the point is that's not the thing that we want to look at, right? Because what does that mean? It means I am seeing my position and my willpower not in connection with the Lord. So in other words, that aspect of seeing the Lord as the origin of everything, that we're ignoring. And we're simply seeing the body, things connect with the body, that knowledge of which I can work with those things that the body and those connect with the body, and therefore try to enjoy it on my own. That's the cause. Right? Mechanically, how this works, what does it matter? How much are we getting into all this, how it works in the material platform? Does that make sense? Are we taking the Shankhya and looking at it to that degree of exactly how everything happens? How did I get in this chair? What modes worked and everything like that? Am I doing that? No. So why would we expect that that's the level of discussion on our falling from the spiritual platform? Right? The point is your mentality. Just like he's sitting in the chair, but now he's in the kitchen. Why is he in the kitchen? Because he's hungry. No, we want to know exactly how he got from the chair into the kitchen and this and that and all that. That doesn't matter. Right? So that's the whole point, is that we're not looking at the real substance. So due to illusion, due to maya, we try to think that those elements that are coming up from vijnana and kriya, that's the real substance here. And in actuality, it's the icha, it's Krishna's desire. So that's why it says it's Krishna's desire, because you turn your attention from him, then it's natural you will work with the reflection, because how do you work with the original? How can you work with the original? Because the original is in connection with the Lord. You want to see things not in connection with the Lord. How you'll work with the internal potency? You have to work with the external. That's what you want. So by the Lord's will, then that's what happens. You know, it's the Jiva's choice, but his choice is if you do this, this is how it's done. That's what's happening. That's how we come into the material energy. Where I have to say, oh no, but which position was it? Where was I standing here? Which way was I facing? You know, what was my elbow doing at the time? You know, that kind of stuff. Completely, absolutely useless discussion. Right? So that's the interesting thing is that, oh, we're so scientific in this, but when it comes to this, we don't understand this is science. Science means that which is applicable. So this is applicable. The other things is how do you get into that? Does that make sense? So the same people that are going to say, oh, we're just devotees, we don't care for the rules, are going to get into this point and argue it all day. That doesn't make sense. That's like saying, I don't like mathematics, but I really want to discuss this one particular point in quantum physics that I don't think is correct. Completely contradictory. Therefore, we have to understand is that we turn our attention from Krishna and we come here. We turn our attention back to Krishna, we get there. That it's that simple. It's that simple. When the attention is turned inwardly to who we are as the soul and servant of the Lord, then we see properly. When we put it externally into our body and into our surroundings and all that, then we see wrongly, right? So these kind of things like this, then they're all useless, you know, or all these upadis, oh, but we're from this place or that place, and so we can only do these things or those things. No, that's all external view that will keep one in the material position, right? You know, and we can say, oh, but we're being practical. You mean you're not going to understand what the body is? Of course. But how are you going to understand it in context of me as the soul, servant of Krishna? These are Krishna's energies. Therefore, I'm going to deal with those energies as Krishna says. Because we're going to say, no, we're Westerners. We're going to deal with Krishna's energy as Westerners. And devotees are saying, no, we're servants of the Lord. We're going to deal with Krishna's energy according to how he says it should be dealt with. You know, that's the thing. We can say that it is whatever it is, but it's not reality. Does that make sense? So that's the illusion. So that's why these things are just, I mean, they're just, that approach, that mentality is not useful in devotional service. Yes, Yukta Vairagya, you connect things to the Lord. But the point is you have to connect it by looking internally. But if you try to connect the Lord by externally, you won't actually connect with the Lord because it's about yourself. In other words, your self is there. You've added the Lord. Okay, that's a nice thing. But it's very, very neophyte, very grossly neophyte. Because you're not acknowledging that this energy works as Krishna says. Not, we're saying, oh, we're Westerners. The energy works differently for us. But it doesn't. It's the same. Let us come over to Asia. We have a brick, right? And we have our toes. And we're going to let go of the brick, you know, that's in a direct line with our toes, right? Now, let's say we go to Europe. Right, and do the same thing, experiment. Let's say we go to America and do the same thing. Let's say we go down to Rodeo Drive and do the same thing. We're going to get the exact same because it's Krishna's energy. We can say, no, but in America it doesn't do that, or in France it doesn't do that, but no, it does. It's the same as Krishna's energy. So we have to understand is that when we look internally, then we can see his energies in the proper place. Then we see him as Krishna's energies and deal with them as Krishna's energies, as Krishna said they should be dealt with. Because we're not all these things. We're not the external energy. We're not the internal energy. We're Jivas. We're servants of the Lord. So therefore, when we see things in connection with the Lord, we work with the internal potency. We get that effect. And when we don't, we see it externally. And we don't get the effect of its connection. So it's an important thing. These points, you can say, oh, this is just all technical stuff. What has it got to do with us? This is very topical. Very topical. People make philosophies based on going against what the acharyas are saying here and float it, and people buy it because they don't know. It's that simple. Prabhupada said, you turn away from Krishna, you end up in the material world. People argue for the last, 40 years over that point. People write books on these points. People make their own societies based on these points. Right? But here it is right here. It's that simple. So simply turn the attention back to Krishna, you solve the problem. Because the point is we're not the doer. That means we're the instrumental cause here in the material world. The material nature is the material cause. So in the same way in the spiritual world, we're only an instrument. It's the internal potency that's the cause there. So we can be an instrument in either. So this idea is, no, I'm in control. I can do this. We do that. We have our way too. It's completely bogus. The Shrutis speak this verse in praise of the Lord. Right? Oh, no, we just read that? We read this, right? So now we're on the commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yes, Father.
Okay. Sufferings are caused by the soul's misidentification with the material body. In the Shruti Shastra said, identifying with matter, the soul takes birth in the body's womb. In Bhagavad Gita 2:63, the Lord says, when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. In the Katupanishad 2:3:15, it is said, when all the heart's knots are cut, the mortal becomes immortal. That is the teaching of scripture. Right? So when you give up misidentification, right, then you become immortal. So this whole thing to say, oh, we're Westerners, and so therefore then we're, we do this, then that's the very basis of why we're here. You can't purify your hands of blood by washing it with blood. In the Isha Upanishad Mantra 3, it is said, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the world of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Right? Because that's the whole, because they misidentify them, darkness and ignorance. In Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said, the root of sin, and ignorance are the three causes of suffering. But it means, in other words, the sinful activity itself, the root of sin or material desire, and then ignorance that we misidentify who we are as the body and soul. In the Isha Upanishad Mantra 9, it said, those who engage in the culture of nescient activity shall enter into the darkest regions of ignorance. Because if you culture nescience, then you're naturally going to go farther away from the Lord. So naturally going to darker and darker regions of ignorance. So ignorance means not knowing your relationship with the Lord. Ignorance doesn't mean I don't know what 2 + 2 is. Ignorance means I don't know how that is connected to the Lord. Right? Thus, the sufferings of the individual spirit souls are caused by the soul's misidentification with the material body. When the bonds of that misidentification are cut, then the soul attains liberation. To reveal this truth, the author of the sutra speaks the following words. Sutra 19, because it restores the soul to its original nature, renunciation of materialism brings liberation. So when you give up the material, that brings you to the original nature. But then we have to, coming to that nature, then we have to continue forward to the emotion. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shri Prabhupada.